Today, Shir Masechet Chagiga Daf Chavov, we will begin on Daf Chav Hei Amid Beis at the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Min HaMedim, from the city Modim Ulefnim towards Yerushalayim, Namonim, even though, as we have been learning, Amir Aretz are not normally believed that when it comes to Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, regarding Kli Cheres, that they prepared Kli Cheres, that the Kli Cheres that they have are Tahar, and they can be used for Kachim. For as we're going to learn, in Yerushalayim, they did not make furnaces where they could prepare Kli Cheres. Gemara is going to give, we're going to learn a number of reasons why they did not make these types of factories in Yerushalayim. They didn't want to have, the bottom line is they did not want to have all the smoke that these furnaces produce in Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, they also needed many Kli Cheres on a very regular basis. In those days, most of their cooking and eating was done in Kli Cheres. So when you have a carbon, you have the issue that if you use a Kli Cheres, if you use an earthenware pot to cook in it, then the blia, what gets ever absorbed into the pot, becomes nicer after the time when you're not allowed to eat the carbon anymore. And the halacha is that nicer has to be destroyed. So if it's a steel pot, it could be kashered. But an earthenware pot, we know, cannot be kashered. So, and similarly would be the halacha on the plates. And therefore, they needed a large amount from all the kabbonis that became nicer of Kli Cheres utensils, which they didn't want to, as we just said, produce in Yerushalayim. So that's why the people who produce these Kli Cheres, even though they're not typically trustworthy, for this they're trustworthy. That's the closest to Yerushalayim that they trust. But outside of Medin, Ein Amonim, this special rule doesn't apply. There is a Machlokes Rishonim. Our Mishnah speaks about this rule applying from the city of Medim towards Yerushalayim. Doesn't mean only the city of Medim and towards Yerushalayim, because Medim was the city where they used to produce these pots. Or is this in all directions? Some say that Taisus Yontov says that typically when the Mishnah speaks about this type of a situation, the Mishnah means in all directions. And here too, it is the intention of the Mishnah in all directions. The reason the Mishnah spoke about Modin, says the Taisus Yontif, is because Modin was a center where these Kli Cheres were manufactured. But it doesn't only mean Modin. There are other, however, Mefarshim that say, because as we just said, Modin was the place where they produced Kli Cheres. So that's why in Modin, they made this special rule. Other places where they did not have this requirement, they didn't manufacture Kli Cheres, there was no reason to make the special dispensation. Furthermore, the question that the Rishonim debate, we've been learning in our the order of the Mishnayos in this Masechta, in this Perek, has been first to identify where Kodesh, as far as Hilchos Tumah Tahara concerned, is more stringent than Truma. And then the Mishnayos began to teach where Truma is more stringent than Kodesh. So the question that the Rishonim discuss, this halacha that we just learned in our Mishnah, that we trust the Amoratzim regarding their paths, is that only by Kodesh? Again, especially given the reason that we gave, because they needed to have paths available in which to cook the Kodesh, or does this halacha apply even by Truma? So the Meiri says that this is only by Kodesh. By Truma, we don't have the situation of Neisser. By Truma, there isn't the same pressure to eat it within a certain framework. We don't have this halacha. But I did see that the Chazon Ish does say that the Chazon Ish says that if there's a pot that was trustworthy we trusted the Amoris as far as Kodesh is concerned, we could use it for Truma as well. It's similar to a concept that we had in our Peret. The Migui, the Mehemen, once we're trusting the Amoris as far as Kodesh, we're going to trust them in other areas as well. Furthermore, that the Meiri wants to suggest that it's only the small pots that they use for cooking, etc., that we have the reason that we just explained. But in other situations, in other types of pots, which aren't so necessary, and aren't, we don't need so many of them, we don't have the leniency that our Mishnah taught us. Keitzad, so says the Gemara, Keitzad, what does this mean? Hakadar, a pot manufacturer, who's an Amoritz, Shemeche Kederis, Shenichnas Lefnim and Adim, he's from the direction of Medim towards Yerushalayim. Hu akader, he, the kederos and the pots, hein aloichim neman, that we see him that he brought them, all of them that are not trustworthy, that he made sure that these pots were kept with tahara. Yotza, but if it's traveling in the opposite direction, and the Gemara is going to be explaining, Ein Neman, it's not trusted. So begins the Gemara. Tana, so we spoke about the area towards Yerushalayim from Edim, where they are Nemanim. The area traveling from Edim outwards, they're not Neman. What about Medim itself? So suggest the Gemara, says the Brisa, Tana, Medim, when we speak about the city of Modim, Pamukal Afnim or Pamukal Chot, sometimes it's treated as it's towards as the area towards Yerushalayim, and they're trusted, and sometimes it's not that way. Ketzad, and the Brisa explains itself. Kader Yoitza, a pot maker is going from Yerushalayim towards Modim. The Chaver, and there's a person who's careful about Tumat Tahara, is coming from outside of Medim, towards Medim, Klefnim. That's considered as if it's in the area where they're trustworthy. Since that's the place, since now I have the pot maker available to me, and as we explained, we're so anxious to be able to get those pots, that's why we treat them leniently. Shneim, both are going, v'nechnosim, and are traveling towards Yerushalayim, or Shneim Yoitzim, or they're both traveling to Modim, Kilchutz. But when they're both entering Modim, the Chavis should wait from the area towards Yerushalayim, but not in Modim. And certainly, since they're leaving Modim, we can't trust them. Omar Bai Afanan Namitanina says, our Mishnah really says this halacha. Because our Mishnah says, Hakadar Shemaychas Kederis, a pot maker that's selling pots, Nichnas Lefnim Min Modim, and he's traveling from Medim towards Yerushalayim, Neman. That's when we trust them about the tahara of a pat. Ma tama. So what do we see from our Mishnah? Delfnim Medim. Only because he's traveling towards Yerushalayim. But it seems clearly, Hamedim Gufa, in the city of Medim itself, Loi Mehemen, he would not be trusted. But as it says the Gemara, let's continue learning our Mishnah. Eima Seifa, Yotza, if he left that area, Ein Nemen. That Ham Medim Gufim. It means because he left Modim, that's why we can't trust him anymore. Which seems to indicate that in the city of Modim itself, Neman, he would be believed. How can we understand this Mishnah? Here at the beginning, it seems that Modim, they're not trusted in Modim itself. And here it seems that in Modim, they are trusted. It's only when they're leaving Modim that they lose that Nemanus. Elav Shmami, no. How must we understand this? When the kader is leaving and the chaver is traveling in that direction, we will trust him even if he's in Modin. Then they're not Nemon Shmaminon. Tana Nemonim, what we said was that when do we trust them? B'klicheres hadakim. By the small klicheres, which as we explained, that you can't manage without them. Since you can't manage without them, Chazal gave a special dispensation that we trust Amoritz. And also, as we explained, when they're needed for Kodesh. When they're needed for Kodesh, that's when they're trusted, because, as we said, they don't make the Kalim in Yerushalayim, and we need all these, we need many of these kelim. Says the Gemara, Amr Shlokish, v'hu shnetalim b'nei achas. What is the definition of a keli that we could trust? One that could be held in one hand. That's considered a small keli. V'Rabbi Yehudama, afil she'ena netanu b'yam achas, even if it's not carried in one hand, as long as they're usable for kabbanis, as long as they're usable for kabbanis, that's why they're not neman. Amr Shlokish, loy shanu el rikoyim. When are we lenient? By empty pots. Aval meleim, if they're full, loy. Because as we've learned so many times, the liquids, the foods of amaratzim are considered tamei, and therefore if this pot is full of those kind of objects, they will be tamei. Rav Yochanan is even more lenient. He says, afil meleim, even if they're full, afil of susu l'toichai, even if he has his garment in it. And we've learned that the garments of amaratzim are tamei. Here we're lenient, and we say that everything is tar. And again, because of the special rule that we need to be lenient to have the ability to have these pots. Amar Rava, Umayder Rav Yochanan ben Mashkin Atzman, that even if we're being lenient, that if the pot has in it mashkin, or that the pot is still, if the Amarats are saying it's tar, we trust them and we accept that it's tar, that's only on the pot. But the mashkin atzmam, the liquid is tamei. Valtatama, and says the Gemara, so how, the Gemara's question is, how can we have such a situation that the pot is considered tahar, the vessel is considered tahar, but the contents are tamei? Says the Gemara, because the Mishnah, Masechta Olos, Perek Hei Mishnah Dalet, teaches us, lagin moli mashkin, if you have a barrel full of mashkin that is found in the house where there's a mace, and the put a klicheris of amoritz to close up the hole between the first floor and the upper floor, which we discussed earlier, is a question, could such a kleli be a vessel to be a chatzitza, to separate the upper floor from the lower floor, and if there's tumas mess in the lower floor, what's on the upper floor will remain tahar. The loch is halagin tameim tumashiva. The vessel is tamei hamashkin tahirim. And as we've learned earlier, Chazal made this rule that one thing should be tamei and one should be tahar. As we explained, the reason is that something that we could take to the mikveh, Chazal, we learned this Gemara on Daf Chabeis, were lenient because the Amoritz will say, in order to satisfy my colleagues, I will take it to the mikveh. But something that's tahor, something that can't be taken to the mikveh, oichlin or mashkin, of things that cannot be taken to the mikveh, something that can't be taken easily to the mikveh, Chazal were more lenient by the Amoratzim, because we didn't want to create a situation where the Amoratzim just will not be able to accept what we are doing. Following that line of reasoning, we could understand our Gemara as well. That there are some times that the halacha differentiates that there are two things in the same vessel, and one should be tamei and one should be tar because of these considerations that we just mentioned. Says the Mishnah, Hagaboim, Yisraelim, Jews again who are Ami Oretz. And they are the tax collectors. Shenichnasu l'toch habayis, that entered into a home to take, the person obviously wasn't paying taxes, so they were taking something to take as collateral to get their taxes. V'kein, similarly, ganovim, people who somebody steal the amoritz, shechziru as a kelim, and are returning the klicheris, which as we've been discussing, are not kelim that could easily be purified. You can't make them tar, you can't take them to the mikveh. Says the Mishnah, namanim loimer, we trust them to say loy nagalu. We didn't touch these people that came into the house. We could say that we did not touch any of the klicheris, and that's why they didn't become tamei. Says the Mishnah, again, presumably, the pshat in the Mishnah, Rashi says, is that this Mishnah is a continuation of what we've been learning. And the Mishnah, again, is teaching us the chomer of truma of a kodesh. And for kodesh, we're going to trust them. And for truma, we're not. Why? So, one pshat is that, as the Miri says, going back to what we discussed in the previous Mishnah, is that kalim were difficult to find in Yerushalayim. And since klicheres were difficult to find in Yerushalayim, they gave a special dispensation. The Sich Yitzchak has a different explanation. The Sich Yitzchak says that the Amorites themselves take Kodesh much more seriously than they take Truma. And therefore, by Kodesh, they recognize the need for Tahara. And when they say something is Tahar, we trust them for Kodesh, we don't trust them for Truma. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that our Mishnah, the din that we're learning here in the Mishnah, does not only apply by Kodesh, it applies by Truma as well. But Tosfos does agree that we learned at the beginning of this parak that there's even something that's even stricter, and that's Mechatos, the mixture of the ash of the paradum and the water, that even has a higher level of stringency. For that, they're not trusted. And even though, and the Tosfos Yontov says that the Rambam agrees with the opinion of Tosfos. And Tosfos Yontov explains that if that's the case, then why is this Mishnah, if Tosfos is correct, how do we understand this Mishnah? The parak here is coming to teach us where Kodesh is more chomer than Truma, and where Truma is more chomer than Kodesh. But if they're all the same, how does it fit in here? And the answer is, it is about the basic subject that we've been learning in our parak about the namonis. When do we trust them, and when don't we trust them? So the question is that if amaratzim are treated like zovim, so even if the keli cheres is, if as soon as he caused it to move, it's tameh, because there's a special tumah of tumas hesed. So the answer is that what this the Tosfos Rid explains, when the Amorites say that they're trusted, what that means to say that we trust them, that they did not come in any type of contact with this kalim. If they can't unequivocally say that they did not come in any contact with this keli, we would not believe them. Says the Mishnah further, Rishlaim namonim ala kodesh, in Rishlaim we trust them on taras ha-kodesh and all types of kalim, v'shas ha-regel, and during yontif, the halach is afal truma, they're trusted even on truma. Because, again, the time of yontif, chayv odam latar atzmai, the Yontif, the Gemara is going to explain that, and that's why for Yontif they have a special namonis. Ask the Gemara, Verminu, our Mishnah, the Mishnah Masechta Taharos teaches us, Hagaboyim Shnichnus L'Toch Habayis, if Gaboyim came into a house, Habayis Kula Huame Aretz, Habayis Kulei Tamei. We have to assume that they touched everything in the house, and since they touched everything in the house is going to be Tamei. Our Mishnah says that if they say that they didn't touch it, we believe them. Answers the Gemara Loikasha. The Mishnah, the Masechta Taharos, that we don't believe them, is the Ikra Nochri B'Dayu, that there's a Goy with them. Ha the Leka Nochri B'Dayu, that there's no Nochri with them. The Tanan, and he says, actually what the Mishnah says, that in Masechta Taharos, Im Yesh Nochri Moim, if there's a Nochri with them, Namonim Loim B'Loim Nechnasun L'Bayis, we could trust them when they say that they didn't go into the house, because as the Miri explains, people don't say such a serious lie. They may say, we went into the house and didn't touch something when they really did touch it. But to say that they didn't enter the house altogether when they did enter it, that's something that they wouldn't do. Another explanation the Miri gives is because there's a sfek sfeika. If they say that they didn't enter the house, there's a double suffix. Maybe they did or didn't enter, and even if they entered, they did not necessarily touch what they weren't supposed to touch. If they come along with an akum, then we can't trust them to say that we entered the house and didn't touch anything. Ask the Gemara, why does that make a difference? Says the Gemara, when there's a nachri with them, they're concerned that if they don't do a thorough search of the house, looking for anything that they could take as collateral, they're going to get punished for not doing the job properly. And that's why we have to assume that they touched. The other reason is Amos Malchus Aleim. They're concerned that if there's a nachri with them, he will go report them to the government that they didn't do the job properly. And the Gemara. So what's the nafkamina between these two explanations? My benayu, what's the nafkamina between these explanations? Says the Gemara, ikra benayu nachri she'ena choshev. If the concern is that the person who they're going in with will do something to them, so if the person that they're entering with is a nachri she'ena choshev, that's a person that this Amoritz Jew is not scared of. But if the concern is that they're going to report what happened, if the concern is that they're going to report what happened, that anybody could go report them to the government, and it wouldn't make a difference if the nachri that came along with them was choshev or not. The Cain, we learned further, ganovim shachziris a kalim, if the ganovim returned to kalim, have a right to say that we didn't touch. Vriminu, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah Matar says, Haganovim Shnechnasu L'toich Habayis, if Ganovim entered the house, Eina Tome Elamokim Drisus Ragalei Ganovim. Only a room where they know that the Ganovim entered, that's where we know the Kalim are Tome. Certainly, Kalim, that not only did they enter that room, but they actually took those Kalim, we shouldn't trust them. Answers the Gemara, Omra Panchis, Kisha Amar Pinchas Mishmei the Rav Kishasa Tshuva. Our Mishnah is talking about that they did Tshuva, and since they did Tshuva, we could trust them when they say they didn't touch it. And Taika Nami the Ketani Shachzirus Agalim. Our Mishnah used the word that they returned the Kalim. The fact that they returned the Kalim means that these are people who are Bali Tshuva, and since the Bali Tshuva, we could trust them when they say that they didn't touch or did touch something because nobody forced them to do tshuva. The Rebbeinu Chananel says that's not pshat that they took and they're returning it, but the Rebbeinu Chananel says that the people that entered the house, and even though they had the ability to take whatever they wanted, they didn't take what they wanted. The fact that they didn't take anything is clearly an indication that these people are Bali Tshuva, because if and they're trustworthy, because they had the opportunity to do whatever they wanted, and they didn't, that's clearly an indication that we could trust them. Ubishlaim Namanam Al Kaidish, we said in Yushlaim the Amaratsim are trusted. Tana Namanam Al Klicheris Gasim, then trusted on large Klicheris. And as we be speaking, if the dakin are even more difficult to get by, so therefore, if we trust them for the big kelei cheres, we certainly trust them for the small kelei cheres. V'kol kach lama, and ask the Gemara, why were they lenient? Says the Gemara, with these kelei cheres, going back to what we started the shiur today, shein oisim kishoins b'Yerushalayim. They did not make any of these type of furnaces in Yerushalayim, and since they didn't make furnaces in Yerushalayim, so they didn't have klicheris readily available. If they didn't have klicheris readily available, that's why we're more lenient. So Rashi explains that why the Gemara Masechet Baba Kama says that the reason that they didn't make these furnaces is because of the smoke. But what does that mean? So Rashi explains that the wall of Yerushalayim black, and of course they didn't want to have that the wall of Yerushalayim should be black because of the smoke. The Miri explains that since you have this furnace giving off much smoke, and that smoke, the wind will blow it into the Azara, where they're preparing the Ketiris, and they did not want the incense, the Ketiris, to be have the smoke mix into that Ketiris. We wanted the Ketiris to be pure with the incense. Another pshat is because they were concerned because they knew that there aren't furnaces in Yerushalayim. And since they know there aren't furnaces in Yerushalayim, they know there's going to be a shortage of the Klicheris. So even the Amei Oritz, who normally are not so careful about Tumat Tahara when they know that Kli Cheres are not readily available. And as we said earlier in our shir, Kli Cheres are the type of keli that we can't take to the mikveh. They, even though maybe normally they're not that careful about Tumat Tahara, here they were. B'shas Regel, we learned Yontif time, they're trustworthy even on the Truma. Ask the Gemara Manon Emili, where do we know this halacha from? Arim Shub Levi, Damakra. The pasuk by Pelegish Begiva says, "V'yasef kol ish Yisrael el echad kish echad chaverim." So the pasuk says that when they all get together, they're considered like chaverim. Hakos of osum kulam. The pasuk treats them like chaverim. When they're all together, the pasuk treats them like chaverim. The Yishalmi actually quotes a different pasuk. The pasuk in Yishalmi is the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Yishalim habenuya ki'ir shechurba lo yachdav." Everybody in Yerushalayim are considered chaverim. And as the Siach Yitzchak explains, the Yerushalmi was not satisfied with the explanation, with the pasuk that our Gemara gives, because the explanation that our Gemara gives is a pasuk by the Pelegish Begiva. That has nothing to do with Yom Tovim. Here we're speaking about Yontif. And therefore, the Yerushalmi didn't like this pasuk. So we see from here that what happens when there's Achdus. When we're all chaverim, we all become better. And in fact, I saw a beautiful pshat that the Gemara, the pasuk, we know that the pasuk says that in Sukkos we keep Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day Yontif. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu add another day to Yontif? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kosher Lai Pridaschem, when I see all of you united, which, as the Gemara just said, is what happens on Yontif, when I see all of you united, says the Pasuk, then says Hashem, I don't want you to leave this. Koshalai Pridaschem. It's hard for me to see you separate. So the reason we see, so what does this mean, that Nasa Kulam Chaverim? So Rashi explains that if Amiratzim will be treated differently than others, then they'll be humiliated. And on Yontif, we don't want them to be humiliated. On the contrary, that during the Yontif, we want all of the people to feel close to each other. And since we want them all to feel close to each other, that's why we made them all chaverim, not to make any room for humiliation. But the Rambam gives a different explanation. The Rambam says that since the halacha is chayiv odem latar atzmei beregel, a person has to be tar on regel. So even though all year round, as we've been learning so many times in our perek, the amaratzim are not trustworthy, when it comes to yontif, the amaratzim themselves are concerned and are careful to remain tahar. And I saw that the Lel of Rebbe explains, what do we learn from this Gemara? We learn from this Gemara that when Jews get together, which was obviously the case on Yontif, what happens is that we all get uplifted. Even the Amiratzim, who all year round, as we've been learning in our perek, have this level of Tumah, when it comes to Yontif, the fact that we're all together doing Avodas Hashem, that causes that everybody's Madrega goes up, says the Mishnah. Habseches Chavitoi, somebody who opens up his barrel to sell wine, or a maskel b'sasoi, or somebody who started using a dough in Yerushalayim on Yontif, a gav regel on Yontif, the halacha is, now it's after Yontif. So the question is, what will be the halacha after Yontif? Yudami Yigmar, since we allowed you to open them up on Yontif and treat us tahara, so Rabbi Yehuda applies here a concept we have often in Shas. That is the concept of a tirus soy from Mishum Tchilosoy. Rabbi Yehuda says that if we're going to say that any leftovers are going to be tamei, what that's going to cause is that people are not going to want to expose their food to the amaratzim because they're going to be concerned that they're going to have leftovers, and the leftovers are tamei. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, Hetiru soy from Hashem Tchilosoy, and they remain tar even after Yontif. The Chamim ever disagree. And the Chamim say, Loi Yigmar, that we can't allow it. So the simple pshat that the machloikus here is, do we say hetiru soifer b'shem tchilosai? And as I saw, the Turi Evan explains that the fact that that the chama hold that after yontif the tamei is not, according to Chamim, such a serious issue, because you always could find a meratzim that will buy it, so it's not something that we're going to be so stuck with. Another pshat is, how do we look at this dispensation? Do we look at this dispensation that it was never tamei in the first place? That's Rabbi Yehuda's explanation. Or do we look at it that it was tamei, but that we have to be concerned for the chashash tuma, but the rabbanon here were lenient, and that would be the basis of the machlokes of Yehuda and the chachamim. I also saw that the Siach Yitzchak suggests that the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim that we just mentioned is based on the machlokes that we quoted a moment ago between Rashi and the Rambam. Why we're lenient with Ami Aretz on Yontif? Rashi said the reason we were lenient with Ami Aretz on Yontif is because we're concerned that they shouldn't be humiliated. If that's the reason, so that only applies on Yontif itself. Say the Chachamim, that after Yontif, where that concern no longer exists, we have no right to be lenient. However, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the Rambam said that the reason we're lenient on Yontif is because Chayiv Odom L'Tahar Atzmei B'Regel. On Yontif, everybody is Tohor. If everybody is Tohor on Yontif, so then it's not that we're being lenient because we're worried about the feelings of the Amorites. We're lenient because the Amorites are really not Tomei. So if the Amorites are really not Tomei, so therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, their vessels and everything of theirs, even after Yontif, remains Tohor as well. Says the Mishnah. It says the Gemara, Yosef, Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, killed Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. They were all sitting on the porch of Yitzchak Nafcha. Pasach Achad V'Omer. So one of them asked the following question. If you have leftovers, Mashi and Echen al-Regel Achar, could they be put away for the next Yontif? Amalei Idach. So the other one asks, Yara, how could you suggest that that would be fine? Yara Koma Mashi Mishimba. Everybody is using these kelim v'at amrid yanichan al regel acher, and you're suggesting it should be put away for the next yontif. Amalei, so he asked them, I don't understand what your issue is. Otu ad ha'ednu lav yara kol mashen shemba. And what was the case on yontif? On yontif, also everybody was touching it, and yet the Mishnah just taught us that we could be lenient. Amalei, so he said them hachi hashta. The situations are not comparable. Bishlamo ad ha'edna. On Yontif itself, Tumas Amaretz Beregel, Tumas Amaretz on Yontif, as we've been learning, Rachmana Tira, we see that we could be lenient with that. Alahashta, but now that it's after Yontif, Tamehi, it's Tamei, and since it's Tamei, that there's no reason that we could be lenient. So the Turi Evan says that didn't we learn that the Amoritz that makes things by the time of the squeezing of the grape, the halach is that it remains tar. And we said that that only is during the squeezing season, not after. So the answer is that the Turi Evan, going back to what he explained in our Mishnah, can't compare the gas to Yontif. And I think it's with Rashi's pshat, very gishmak. By the gas, because the Amorites don't want that the grape, the wine, the olive oil that they sell should be considered Tomei, Chazal were lenient that Chazal assumed that it's not Tomei at all. Here, where we're being lenient, it's not that we're being lenient because we're confident the Amorites didn't make a tar. We're not confident that the Amorites didn't make a Tomei. We're just being lenient because we don't want to have a situation of discord. Well, we don't have a situation that the Amorites are embarrassed. And therefore, maybe here we shouldn't be lenient. Says the Gemara named Katanoi. Let's say that this Machloikus is actually Machloikus Tanoim, the Tanichada, that we learned in one Braisa regarding the barrel or the dough that we started using on Yontif, Yanichen al Regel Acher. The Tanya Yadav, but the Braisa says, Yanichen al Regel Acher, you can't be put away for the next Yontif. My laugh, shouldn't we suggest that Tanoihi, that this is a machlokes tanoim. So tomorrow, this no new machlokes tanoim. Loi. Hadik Tani, the brisa that says, Yenichenna, that could be put away for the next Yontif is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who is lenient in our Mishnah. V'adik Tani, and the opinion that says the Loya Nechana, is following the opinion of Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, how can we say that the Braisa that's allowing it to be put away for the next Yontif is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? V'tizbara, Rabbi Yehuda, Yigma Kamer, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't have to wait for the next Yontif. According to Rabbi Yehuda, as we just learned in our Mishnah, even after Yontif it may be used. Says the Gemara, El Hadu Tani Lo Yeh Nichana, the Braisa that says that you don't have to put it away is going, that you don't put it away is Rabbi Yehuda. V'adu Tani Yechener Rabbanan. What does that mean? What does it mean? That you don't have to put it away. In other words, the way the Gemara is saying now is that everybody will agree that if you put it away for the next Yontif, there is no issue. The question here is, if you didn't put it away for the next Yontif, you only have it for you have it right after Yontif. According to Yehuda, you don't have to wait for the next Yontif. Because as we learned, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that they're trusted after Yontif. According to the Chachamim, they're not Neman immediately after Yontif. But even though they're not Neman immediately after Yontif, they are Neman for the next Yontif. There's an interesting discussion based on this Gemara. Here we see how careful Chazal were about making that all of us should be together and one level. So what's going to be the halacha about different menhagim? People in one shul having different menhagim. So the Magen Avraham says that there's an isser of loisus gaidudu. And not only does the Magen Avraham explain that there's an isser of loisus gaidudu by people feeling the halacha is different, but even by a minig, suggests the Magen Avraham, there's a concern of Loisus Gaidudu. The Steichemet disagrees. The Steichemet suggests that by a halacha, where there's a halachic issue, there we can have a question of Loisus Gaidudu. But when people have different menhagim, you have people in one shul with different menhagim, there isn't a concern of Loisus Gaidudu. And the Chasam Sofer says that we see that the pasuk says, as we just quoted, "V'yesek kol ish Yisrael eliir ish echad chaverim," that all of us should be act similarly, even for here, where there's a concern of tumat tahara, in order that there shouldn't be any separation. So Chasam Sofer seems to say that the concern for loisus gaidudu is under all situations. Our Mishnah just taught us the halacha, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, certainly, that if somebody started eating the dough or the wine of an Amoritz, he may continue, even after Yontif as well. There's an interesting question. We know that even when somebody becomes an Oinon, the minig is, an Oinon doesn't do any mitzvahs, he doesn't daven, etc. What would be the halacha if, Rechman Atzlan, somebody's in the middle of davening, and somebody's in the middle of benching, and while he's doing so, he finds out that he's oinen. Does he have to stop, or could he finish his davening or benching? So the Birchei Yosef brings a raya from the Chachamim of our Mishnah. Just like the Chachamim in our Mishnah said that even though on Yontif itself we are trusting the Amoritz, but as soon as Yontif ends, we don't trust them. Here too, because right now it's after Yontif, so too that if somebody, Rechman Tzlan, becomes an oinon in the middle of davening or benching, the halacha is that we should be allowed to continue benching. However, that, and he says even further, he says, even Rabbi Yehuda, that was lenient in our Mishnah, so as we explained, the reason Rabbi Yehuda was lenient in our Mishnah is because Hetiru Sofer Mishum Tchilasai. Rabbi Yehuda said, if we're not going to be lenient, we could have very serious repercussions. But in a situation where it isn't that way, there is no reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that just because he was benching or he was davening, he's allowed to continue doing so when he becomes an oval. Says the Mishnah, Mishavar Haregel, after Yontif, Mavir Maltaras Azara. The Kahanim would take all the Kalim in the Azara and take them to the mikveh. Of a regular Yom Shishi, but let's say if Friday is the day of after Yontif, Loyayim Avirim, they didn't take them to the mikveh on Friday, Nekvot Shabbos, because Friday everybody is preoccupied in getting ready for Shabbos, so that's not the day to go to the mikveh. Yudaymer, Af Loy B'Yom Chamishi, if the last day of Yontif was Wednesday, Thursday is not a day that we could take the kelim to the mikveh. She'ein kahanim penuyim, the kahanim don't have the availability to take the kelim on that day to the mikveh, the preoccupied. So the Miri explains that the way we're understanding the Mishnah, that even though Chazal made this rule, Chazal at the same time were concerned about these different considerations about Kvod Shabbos. So it's not like they waived the rule. They said that the Yontif gets extended until then. Tana, why didn't they do it on Thursday? We could understand if it's Friday, but why didn't they do it on Thursday? It says the Gemara, she'ena kahanim penuyim la'yitzu b'dashen, because the kahanim don't have time on the day. What happened was, on every day, there was ash accumulated on the Mizbeach. And on Yontif, they let all the ash accumulate, because that showed how many kabbonis were brought, because all the kabbonis had ash. So to show how Klai Yisrael was so devoted and were donating kabbonis, they let much ash accumulate on the Mizbeach. But as soon as Yontif ended, the first day after Yontif, they would be very busy getting the ash off the Mizbeach. And since they were so busy getting the ash off the Mizbeach, that's why the day after Yontif, they didn't have time to take all the other kelim to the mikveh. Says the Mishnah, Ketzem Avir Matar Sazara, what does that mean that they made everything tar? Mabilim Kol HaKelim Shayu Mishkan. They used to take all the kelim that were in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, to the mikveh. However, says the Mishnah, Aymrim Lehem, they used to say to the Kahanim who were the Ami Oritz, to be careful, his haru shloi tigu b'shulchan. Don't touch the shulchan, because as the halacha is, the lechem upon him must be on the shulchan constantly. The pasuk says, "V'nasata al shulchan lecha upon alafanei tomid." So if we're going to have to take the shulchan out, now we're going to have a real concern, because we're going to have to take the shulchan and the bread. You can't take the bread to the mikveh, and they will not have bread on the shulchan all week long. Kol HaKelim Shayim Mikdash, says the Mishnah, all the kelim were in the Mishkan, the base of Mikdash. Yesh lam shnim mishlishim, they had backup. Shem nitma rishonim, that if something happened to the kelim, we should have other kelim available. Yavim shnim tachteim, we should bring other kelim in their place. So the question is, how did the kelim become tamei? So Rashi explains that to kahanim, the Yisraelim were never allowed to enter the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, but kahanim were allowed to enter. And as the Tosfos Yontif explains, even though we certainly did not allow a kohen who was an Amoritz to do the avoda, we did allow him to enter the Beis HaMikdash to Ishtachava, to do the Hashtachava there. And since we allowed him to go in to do Hashtachava, we're concerned that when he went in, he may touch a keli. And that's why the halacha is that they were warned, don't touch, that we shouldn't have a problem with the shulchan. There's interesting discussion in the Gilyonei HaShas. The Gilyonei HaShas says it seems that even the Bigdei Kahuna, they had backup. The only Bigdei Kahuna, he says, that they didn't have a backup for was the tzitz. There was only one tzitz. And in fact, there is a question, how many shulchanas did they have? Did they have backup for the shulchanas? It seems maybe they didn't have a backup for the shulchan, because they were careful never to make sure that it would never become tamei. So of course, the Michas Eloza asked the question, all of a sudden, we're giving the Amoritz warning, don't touch the kelim, and we trust that they won't touch it. All throughout this Masechta, then, we're not trusting, throughout this Perek particularly, we've not been trusting the Amoritz. And today, we're trusting them that we tell them don't touch, they didn't touch. So going back to a concept that we've learned throughout the shir, explains the Michtzalozer, on Yontif, it's different than all year round. All year round, we maybe don't trust the Ami Oretz. When it comes to Yontif, the Ami Oretz become different people, and we trust them on Yontif. Kol Kelim Shayim Migdash, or Kelim that were in the Migdash, Tunim Tefila, we have to take them to the Mikveh after Yontif, because out of the concern that the Ami Oretz touched them, Chutz Mi Mizbech Azov and Mizbech Nechoshes. The only exception of the Mizbech Zav and Mizbech Nechoshes, Nation Karka. They're considered like Karka, and we know that Karka is not Mekabel Toma, Divrei Rabbi Eleza. The Chama hold that the reason they don't have to take into the mikvah, Nation Mitzupim. And why the fact that they're Mitzupim makes that they shouldn't have to go to the mikvah, we will discuss in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara.